Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Tracy Hammond, who is a Washington insider and a lobbyist that works with the Carpet and Rug Institute. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent, Kemp. Thank you.
You know, it's been 2 years since you and I talked, and it was about the same time 2 years ago when the outcome of what we were talking about 2 years ago was the sequestration legislation that finally went into effect in January.
Yep. Sometimes it seems like we see the same movie over and over again in Washington.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you. I think our audience would love to hear a Washington insider's perspective on what some of the key issues are and how long you think this might go on. What's the scenario in Washington?
You know, several days ago, the government's fiscal year ended. That's why, of course, this is happening right now. The fiscal year ended on September 30th, and right. That's when all the funding for the government went away. So Congress is still struggling with finding a way to keep the government up and running. The crux, of course, is that a lot of House Republicans and Senate Republicans want to, at the minimum, delay, if not completely defund, the health care reform law, Obamacare. And,
right.
And of course, you know, as expected, President Obama and the Senate Democrats have no appetite for that. And that's what really has us in the stalemate we're in right now. As for a solution, a week ago, I kind of thought this would go one of two ways. I thought this would be resolved in less than 24 hours and they would find a stopgap and keep negotiating. Or this would go probably 2.5, 3.5 weeks. And that's the way it's looking right now, of course. The reason why I think it will go 2.5, 3.5 weeks now is that the U.S. government is set to hit its borrowing limit, the debt ceiling, on October the 17th, which is just a little over a week away, week and a half away at this point. A lot of things are just going to start coming together, and as we get closer and closer to October 17th, it's harder to separate funding the government from raising the debt ceiling. And so these negotiations now are basically merging together, and folks are going to have to find a way to do essentially both at the same time, which is both a good and a bad thing, Kemp. It's a bad thing in that it makes complicated negotiations even more complicated.
Right.
Because you have more moving parts, you have more concerns, you have more, you know, threats and opportunities, that sort of thing. But it's a good thing because since there are more moving pieces, there are more things on the table, and I think personally, the problem that the Republicans got themselves into with just strictly funding the government is they were really going after an immovable object in Obamacare.
Right.
And the Senate Democrats and the White House just weren't going to give on that.
Let's talk about that for just a second. This is legislation that has passed, and it's gone through a test in the Supreme Court. And, you know, we talk about the three branches of government. This thing is, you know, as painful as it's going to be, it's another entitlement program. But unfortunately, voters put the people in there that they did, and it's passed. So it seems like we're fighting over something that's already kind of a done deal, aren't we?
I think you're right, Kemp. I think you're exactly right. This is a constitutional law. It's a law that's on the books.
Yeah.
It's interesting you brought that up. I was just reading something the other day. A former senator from Georgia, Robert Russell, back in 1964, after the Civil Rights Act had passed. In 1964. And the quote, and I don't remember it verbatim, but it essentially said, there might be a lot of things I don't like about this act, but it's the law of the land, and as a citizen, we all need to work to make it work for everybody. I think that's certainly the attitude that the congressional Democrats have and that the White House has. Of course, they think it's a good law, not a bad law, but this is the law of the land. And quite frankly, congressional Republicans are not going to be able to repeal it anytime soon.
Right.
And so then you have to make the calculation, when do you stop fighting and when do you try to make it work?
Right.
And right now, they haven't decided to make it work yet. And that's sort of the corner, at least at the moment, they've painted themselves into.
Yeah.
Because it's really difficult to see how they win on this issue, given the way the votes are in Congress and President Obama in the White House.
You know, there's a senator from Tennessee that's up there, Bob Corker, and he's a little upset with the Republicans in the House right now. I think he wants to try to meet in the middle. Bonner's got his hands full to try to come up with some package where the right can get a few things that they want out of this through these negotiations, but they really can't get to a central consensus, can they?
No, it's been really tough, and you're exactly right. Senator Corker has been very frustrated, not only with House Republicans, but with Senator Ted Cruz, his own Republican colleague in the Senate as well, and he's expressed as much publicly. It is difficult. You have the Democrats on one side. You have some moderates, both Democrat and Republican, on another side. And then you have almost a third tier, the very conservative right, in the House. You know, one of the things that has put them all there, people compare this shutdown to what happened in 1995 and 1996 with Bill Clinton in the White House and Newt Gingrich as Speaker of the House. We've had two rounds of redistricting in the House. Some would call it gerrymandering, congressional districts. And a lot of these Republicans in the House now, their districts have become so Republican. And the same thing for the Democrats. Their districts have become much more Democrat as well. The incentive to compromise is a lot less than even it was 17 years ago, because their districts are so conservative or so liberal that there's not that incentive to reach across the aisle and work with people of the other party anymore, because their electoral fear more is that somebody is going to primary them from their own party because they're not extreme enough, and they don't have a fear about trying to be in the center and trying to be moderate anymore and make deals. That's just one of the other things that has kind of led us down the path that we're on right now.
Yeah. You know, if we look into some of these European countries, certainly they've got their issues over there. But, I mean, $16 trillion worth of debt's a lot of debt. It seems like that there needs to be some awakening, if you will, that enough is enough. What do you think?
It is a lot of debt. You are absolutely right about that, Kim. And depending on who you ask, it will determine how dangerous this is. You know, some economists say, well, you know, as long as the economy continues to grow even at a slow pace, it's not going to be the end of the world. Others say, look, even if we continue on this pace for just a few more years, it's going to seriously dampen economic growth and the future of this country. I'm not an economist, so I don't know who is right, but just watching the news or reading something in the paper, $16 trillion is a tremendous number, and it's hard to even get your head around. I think ultimately, there's going to have to be, the term of art in Washington is a grand bargain, and that will involve some sort of tax reform, that will involve some changes to entitlements like Social Security and Medicare, and maybe some changes to Obamacare. But it's going to be painful for both sides, and both sides are going to walk away hopefully having some wins, but almost certainly having some losses. But that's what it's going to take, tweaking things around the edges, or just one side dictating to the other, is not going to change the trajectory, and it's not going to change that $16 trillion figure.
And you being an insider, I don't know what you think the solution should be, but, you know, I've heard one solution that I think is pretty smart, but it's the 1 cent solution, which is just take 1% of everything and cut that every year across the board. That would hit the entitlements, it would hit defense, it would hit everything. Just get it down where it's in a consumption level that's palatable.
That's an interesting thought, Kemp. That particular solution, that doesn't get a lot of discussion here in Washington. That's not to say that it's not a good idea, because there are a lot of good ideas that don't get discussion here in Washington. It's not really something, at least at the moment, is on the table.
Yeah.
It's certainly something that could be brought up, and it's just as good as everything else is on the table. Right now, obviously, a lot of talk is around a couple of things. One, obviously, about Obamacare. Although, you know, as important as that law is, it doesn't get to the heart of the fiscal problem that this country has. Right or wrong about Obamacare, that's not going to fundamentally change the $16 trillion figure you mentioned. What does that are entitlement spending, what does that is our tax code, you know, and what does that is to some degree discretionary spending. And with sequestration that we talked about a couple of years ago, it's not the most perfect solution for discretionary spending, but it's certainly an effort, and it's an important movement on that, you know, we are cutting discretionary spending more than really we've ever done in the nation's history.
Yeah. Well, we need to. That's part of the solution. Nobody wants to go on record, but I was talking to a couple of major executives with some of these big mills in the floor covering business, and this new health care law is going to cost them a fortune. And what that means is that floor covering is going to get more expensive because of this health care law. So that's the reality we're in right now. When you tax corporations, they pass it on.
That is true. This is a big problem, and people now are saying, you know, look, we have a big problem. We need a big solution. One of those solutions is the tax code. It's overly complicated, both for individuals and for businesses. It hasn't fundamentally been changed since 1986, you know, nearly 30 years ago at this point.
And they're not going to do that in the next 2 weeks, so they got to come up with a short-term solution to at least get this thing moving, don't they?
That is exactly right. We are not going to get comprehensive tax reform in the next 2 weeks. We're probably not getting it before the end of the year. That is a longer-term thing, and we are going to have to figure out a way. This may be something where they just have to kick the can down the road for 6 months and try to put some sort of framework in place in a bill that they pass saying, all right, we're going to do XYZ within these parameters over the next 6 months to address taxes or to address entitlement spending, something like that. Kemp, you and I may be having this same conversation in March, you know, if something like that happens. It's hard to see what else can come together in the next 2.5 weeks that gets the government up and running and prevents the U.S. government from defaulting on its debt.
I appreciate you spending time with us and giving your insider perspective. Again, we've been talking to Tracy Hammond, who's a insider in Washington and a lobbyist with the Carpet and Rug Institute. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.